You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined once again by Harrison Fagan. He extended his weekend and enjoyed a night at the spa. While
Anthony, I will drive to your house and fight you.
Oh, man. I picture you fighting would just be hilarious.
It's like those videos of giraffes that just like whack each other with their
heads. I feel like as you fight, you would start crying. I'm a good person. I'm a good person.
Probably.
As always, well, today's show,
we're gonna talk about the Lakers at some point.
At some point, but today's show, we are going to talk about somebody peripherally involved with the Lakers who just can't stay out of the news, even when the Lakers try to intentionally keep him out. Their
efforts to keep him out put him in the news. So Big Baller Brand wins again. We are, of course, talking about LaVar Ball, our current United States president and the biggest story around the Lakers.
The Lakers enacted the LaVar policy is what this is going to be known as.
I just threw up in my mouth.
I want that to be, like, that'd be great. Like, as they per put, the LaVar policy, section one,
LaVartical 16.
Yeah, exactly. But they basically made it illegal for the media to approach him and other guests of players. Like, I like how they phrase it as guests of players cannot be approached by the media. As if this would pertain to literally anybody else who would be a guest of a player.
Yeah, no, they gotta get Julius Randle's wife to stop making such bold proclamations after these games. And, you know, like I'm trying to think, like, I don't know, maybe Brooke Lopez's mom says some mean things about other players. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just like all kinds of out of control people in that section that the Lakers just don't want being interviewed because it's definitely not just LaVar Ball.
Yeah, it absolutely 100% is not just LaVar. They're thinking of everybody. Yeah,
it's like, hey, LaVar, no, this isn't us. This is an existing policy. We're just like, we're enforcing it now so they don't bother you.
I had a really funny mention from, or it was a quote tweet, but somebody said like this was Lonzo's idea, which that would be tremendous, right?
If it was, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised.
Let me paint the scene for you, right? So LaVar finds out about this. He sees the tweets and he sees the news and he gets emails and stuff about this new policy and he just reaches out to Lonzo, like, hey, Zo, what's going on here, man? Like, what? Have you heard about this stuff? And Lonzo's like, I don't know what you're talking about, Dad. What, man, I'm not allowed to talk at Laker games anymore. Everybody, the media can't come up and talk to me or any of the players. And the media is all crying right now because they can't talk to Kyle Kuzma's mom. Can you believe this? Oh, man, tough break, Dad. That's really too bad. Is there anything you could do, Lonzo? You're like the face of the franchise. No, I'm sorry, Dad. I can't hear you anymore. Bye, Dad. Talk to you later, Dad. Bye. And then
I guess this has always been a policy. I was never expressly told not to go in and interview players' families, but that always just kind of seemed like common sense to me. Mm-hmm. Like I've sat right above that section a couple times, so you see people there, like you see like Ivica Zubac's girlfriend or Julius Randle's wife or whoever it may be, like sitting in that section. But for me, it was all like, I saw David Nwaba's family, I think, once, like, but for me, it was always just like common sense to just not go in there and start bothering them, like, because mm-hmm. they aren't the story. But LeVar, I feel like, is just a very different animal. He's become a celebrity and media personality in his own right. And there's no rule about not interviewing celebrities, as far as I know, at Laker games. Like, they will occasionally come and talk, or like former players that are there will go and talk to the media. So I think this is just almost a clarification that the policy applies to him as well. And it kind of jives with what I've seen from the Lakers of this very, like, passive aggressive is the wrong word, but this, like, we're going to try and keep LeVar away from the microphones without saying that that's what we're doing. Like, I was talking to somebody about this for a story, like, last week, about how at his first summer league, at Lonzo's first summer league game, like, this huge crowd gathers around LeVar. And then the Lakers just kind of came up and they're like, hey, LeVar, like, the family lounge is back here. We're heading back there now. Mm-hmm. And they did the same thing at Lonzo's introductory press conference, where it's like, no, we aren't cutting off the interview. We're just, like, taking him somewhere. and so it's like they can, like, feign that they aren't trying to muzzle him, but I mean, that's kind of what's going on, ultimately.
And look, I think lost in all of, you know, because the people who are talking about this the most are the media who now can't interview. Like Ramona Shelburne went on, like, a 33-tweet rant or tweet storm about...
I should not have tried to drink coffee while you were talking.
she goes on and on and on about how, oh, it's such a bummer. I'm losing. I might not have the same relationship with the players' families and friends. And, oh, woe is the world. And I'm just like, no, stop it, man. Like, nobody is buying this, that you're missing out on talking to Marcelo Huerta's third cousin. Like, that's not how this works, man. And
who weirdly is still in the family section at Laker games.
He just has a lifetime pass because Marcelo Huerta's is the greatest point guard.
He just lives there now. He's never left Staples Center.
It might actually be Huerta's.
it's Huerta. He's like Tom Hanks in Terminal. He just, like, eats at the McDonald's every day.
So, like, this idea that, like, oh, we're missing out on these relationships. Like, no, you want – no. Anytime LeVar Ball was opening his mouth, it was good for not just the initial article, right? But it was also good for, like, five or six aggregation pieces per platform. And –
yeah, no, I'm not surprised that ESPN is not, like, thrilled about this, because they were the ones – pushing LeVar as much as possible. Well, it was a lot of it was ESPN. Like, ESPN pretty much had a guy with him. It seems like after, like, almost every single home game, they had, like, someone video interviewing LeVar. No, like, whoever it may be, it kind of alternated. But it just seemed to happen a lot. And honestly, I can't really blame the Lakers for not wanting that to happen.
Yeah.
When coming out of that has been, he's questioned Luke's coaching. He's questioned Julius Randle's decision-making. These are the exact type of things that heading into the draft, people were like, well, you know, maybe this is going to be a downside when he starts going at the Lakers organization. And then you had the Lonzo Ball stands that were like, no, he never caused any problems at UCLA, except for when he, like, shit on all the white guys on the team. But other than that,
I want to keep talking about this because I do find it interesting. There's an angle to this that I don't think is getting talked about nearly enough. And we're going to do that here in a second. So the angle that I think is getting overlooked in the media's attempt to frame it as anything other than this is an industry in and of itself is covering LeVar, and we have benefited greatly from the clicks that LeVar generates, right? So as they attempt to say that isn't what they're crying about while they cry about it, I think the other thing that needs to be mentioned here is that this is probably the best idea that the Lakers have had regarding LeVar. There's going to be some backlash today. And there might be some...
I'm kind of shocked that people are surprised that they would want this.
It's
or
weird.
Saying, like that the Lakers are surprised or were caught off guard by LeVar. I don't think they were caught off guard by LeVar. I think that they were figuring out what they could do. And I think this was the solution that they came to.
And I think it's the right solution. I called for a few weeks back.
I, for one, will not miss necessarily having to aggregate something that he said after most games.
Well, and the other thing, too, that needs
even
to be
though
mentioned
it is fun
here,
sometimes.
The thing that needs to be mentioned here is if the Lakers were winning, right, he probably wouldn't be talking about Luke the way he's been talking about him. But if the Lakers were winning and he still had his gripes with Luke, then you could kind of laugh it off and say, oh, this guy's just being a doofus because his son hasn't lived up to expectations that either he or Magic or anybody else has set, right? That would be one thing. But they aren't winning, and they won't be winning for probably the foreseeable future because their December schedule is so brutal. And so you kind of have to say, like, if you're the Lakers, it's already tough enough to be the Lakers when you aren't as good as you have been over the course of your history. But it gets even tougher when you have this kind of distraction, or I'm not saying, I won't call them a distraction, but a nuisance in the form of a...
Yeah, that was much nicer.
in the form of a father of a kid who has his own platform and has people ready and willing to give him a microphone at the drop of a big baller brand hat.
That's why I think this ultimately isn't going to make a difference. If LeVar wants to talk to a reporter, LeVar can talk to a reporter.
I think that's true. I'm not going to disagree with that, but I would say that this to me felt like the Lakers telling the reporters, "Hey, stop it, enough." Right? Like this.
Yeah.
This felt like.
Yeah,
this,
for sure.
And
but I just don't know that that's going. I don't think that this is going to keep him out of our airwaves. I think no, LeVar, much like Lonzo, is going to read the defense and find a way to get a pass there.
Well, I would agree that, you know, if he really absolutely needs to, you know, get out there, or he feels the desire to get something out there, he's going to get it out there. But
Anthony, the president has to talk to the people, and Big Baller Brand is not going to market itself. LeVar is going to get into the news. Not going to stop him.
You and I both know, though, that if the Lakers want to hush a story up a little bit, you know, maybe not throw it completely under the rug or tell reporters to ignore it completely. But if they kind of wink, wink and say, hey, we aren't going to throw this out there to the public right now. They do that like that. They can do that. It's very easy for them to just kind of say, let's hold off on this for a bit. And this move that they made today, reminding everybody about this policy at Staples Center, like that felt to me like the first steps in the Lakers kind of telling everybody, all right, enough. Like we can't do this anymore. It's not good for the Lakers.
Yeah, I agree. This was definitely an effort by them. In my opinion, this was an effort by them to do exactly that without expressly saying that they wanted to do exactly that.
And it was funny to me that people were saying that they didn't care about LeVar and the stuff that he was saying about Luke. Like, how could they – in what situation wouldn't they care about that? Like, in what situation wouldn't they care about
– they being the Lakers?
They, yeah. Like,
of course they care about
exactly.
That.
Exactly. Like, it's weird to me that was ever something somebody tried to sell.
They care about him questioning Julius Randle, and they probably think that it's a bad look for him to be feuding with the Lakers' former coach.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and that's – you told me about this story or non-story, however you want to say it. I have no idea that this was going on, so I'll let you I'll let you outline whatever might be going on between LeVar Ball and the Lakers' former coach. And look, I'm going to put a quick break on our fine system just so that – because it's going to get kind of annoying. To not
okay, you're
say.
Giving me amnesty?
I'm giving you amnesty. And
we're giving each other amnesty for the rest of this like segment.
Right.
Okay. So Byron Scott and – wow, that felt weird to say on the air. I feel like I'm being tricked. So Byron Scott and LeVar Ball have been feuding through the media in a war of words that I don't think anybody really expected. But honestly, I'm not mad about it. And so – if this ties back, we were talking about when he criticized Luke Walton's coaching, and this ties back to that, where TMZ went and approached Byron at some like outside at some like restaurant or something, and basically asked him about it, and he told LeVar to shut up about the way that and let the Lakers coaches coach, because I would imagine that he's probably thinking about how he would have reacted to being criticized like this by a player's family member, and like would have probably challenged them to a fist fight or something like that. And then so like about a week later, LeVar doesn't really check Twitter. We've read and we've been told, but about a week later, he had a message for Byron Scott. He had a message for him because this is a direct quote. Yeah, I got words for Byron Scott. Shut the hell up and do what you do. Leave me alone. He ain't doing nothing else. Tell him if he wants his name in the news, tell him to go do something. You ain't got to talk about Ball to get your name in the news. But then again, yes, you do, because ain't nobody talking about Byron Scott doing nothing. That was pretty savage. I'm not going to lie. LeVar Ball, apparently a pro-tanking Lakers fan and Locked On Lakers listener. Confirmed original OG listener of the Team Tank podcast. Apparently not a big fan of Byron Scott. So, yeah, I've never, you know, I think Lakers fans probably have never felt like they had more in common with LeVar Ball than this moment.
That what's crazy is, like, you know how sometimes you'll have two teams go up against each other that you don't really like, right? Like, the if the Celtics were to play, I don't know, the Clippers or the Warriors or something like that, I just kind of, it'd be nice if both of these teams could lose. Or the Thunder. The Thunder kind of fall into that category as well. It's like, it'd be great if while the Thunder were playing the Celtics, both teams could lose. I'm watching this and I'm like, how can both Ball and Byron come out of this looking worse for the wear? And
the answer is that they did it.
Well, poor Byron,
this
man.
This is not a sports game. I think they both lost this exchange. I think Byron lost because he got absolutely savaged by LeVar Ball. And LeVar lost because he acknowledged that Byron Scott spoke to him. So, you know.
That's lose-lose. Lose-lose. I guess, all things considered, I don't think we could have asked for much more from that exchange, except for maybe the 2 cents of somebody pretty close to the situation and under the witness protection program because they were just ethered by the father of a current Lakers point guard. We are going to talk to this witness protection beneficiary here in a second, and I'm really looking forward to this. And shouts to your name escapes me at the moment, but this was in the iTunes reviews with a 5-star review. This was one of the ideas from a listener, so thank you very much for that. Keep stuff like that coming. That it just makes our show better. So let's see how this goes. All right, we are joined now by somebody who hasn't been able to really show their face publicly without some kind of backlash, so they've decided to enter the witness protection program after maybe we'll just call it a rough stretch of coaching the Los Angeles Lakers. Whoever this might be, because I don't want to share your name publicly, but when you saw this back and forth, and you especially saw the response from LeVar, how did that go over wherever you currently were?
Well, first of all, I thought it was a soft move from him to go to a reporter instead of manning up and challenging me to a fist fight in the street in Temecula, as everyone knows is the honorable thing to do. And I also just want to say that I wish Harrison was here. He was always my favorite reporter to talk to if and when I was the Lakers head coach, hypothetically. Do you think they're buying it?
I think we're good so far. I think we're okay. I think we're okay. When you watch Luke struggle the way he has and you hear LeVar call him out the way he did, like, if you were the Lakers coach and you were to get that kind of sentiment from the parent, if you were, I mean, I'm not saying that you were actually the head coach, but if in a circumstance you might have been the Lakers head coach at some point and you had the record that you had, which wasn't, I think you, this person may have been the losingest coach in the history of the Lakers, but
can't confirm that though, because that might identify me.
Yeah. I don't want to throw your identity out there for everybody to figure it out. But
so yeah, if I was hypothetically head coach of the Lakers and Lonzo Ball and a player's parent were to say this about me, then first of all, that player would be benched indefinitely. I would also not tell them that I was going to do so. I would let them find out through the media. And then I would, you know, I would ignore the Lakers policy of not talking to players and parents' families. And I would walk into that family section and I would backhand them.
I picture you throwing down a glove of some sort, like dropping the gauntlet kind of thing.
I don't always wear gloves, but when I do, it's to challenge somebody to a fist fight.
Would you slap them across the face with the glove, or would you drop it?
I would drop it and then slap them with my hand, as a man does. And, you know, I think it's really unfortunate, because when you join a great organization like the Los Angeles Lakers with my close personal friend Magic Johnson, maybe allegedly, then you feel like it's part of a family, and you want to be able to trust the people that are in your family. And I don't know. This is why I always say that Byron Scott was right to not trust Lakers players or anyone in the organization, because they were just probably going to like go in a foxhole with him and shoot him in the back.
Let's say hypothetically your maybe close friend Magic Johnson, the criticism reaches his doorstep from LeVar. How would you handle that situation?
I would go to him and I would say Magic, this is not acceptable. You need to bar the media from talking to LeVar, because I don't understand technology and I don't think that there's any way that they can reach him if they are not talking to him physically in person at a Laker game, and that this will solve the problem. So I actually think they made the right decision. And it would make me so angry that I would just go home and beat my dog if I had one, hypothetically. I don't call PETA. I made this mistake before.
You might have made this mistake before. A certain former Lakers head coach made that
Byron
mistake.
Yeah, Byron Scott
once.
Did. That was a real shame when he did, and that definitely wasn't me.
I think we should maybe call it quits while we're ahead and nobody has figured out who you currently are. But I just want to thank you for taking time out of your, I'm sure, super busy day, succeeding in life in every way that you possibly can, in writing books about it.
I actually like to say that I show leadership in all positions from life's court.
We got to go before people figure this out. This was a really fun show. I hope everybody enjoyed this. Thanks again to that listener who came up with that idea. We're going to make that a bit. We're going to clean it up a little bit as we figure out ways to ensure, because really this is what witness protection is of the highest importance. The number one priority is to make sure that nobody figures out who is talking there. So we got to figure out ways to maybe protect that person from themselves in those instances. I am Anthony Irwin, though. Harrison had to step out really quickly to lock down that interview and make sure that and protect that person from themselves. So I'm going to sign off for him. He probably has to get an early jump on getting to the day spa anyway. So I hope everybody enjoyed this show. The Lakers have an off day tomorrow again as well. So what we're probably going to do is take a deep dive, one of our deep dives, into one of the issues plaguing the Lakers, turnovers. So that'll be a really fun episode. Harrison will pull up some stats and stuff, and I'll try to put some context into it as well. As always, make sure you're following the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, and Lakers Outsiders. Have a good one, everybody. And especially that person that we interviewed in the witness protection plan. And Harrison, if you're still listening out there, fist bump for a good show.